Hey there, teacher friends. Before we start today's episode, I want to make sure you know that I have free teaching guides for every single month. If you want to know what to teach this month, if you want to know what I'm focusing on in this month, if you want resources to help you with how to teach that, activities to do, definitely want to check out these free teaching guides. The secret tip for you is if you type in kindergartencafe.org/whatever month we're in, it will bring you right to the guide. If you're not sure how to do that, or you want to grab all the guides, because some people do that, and I think that's a great idea to see the whole year, kindergartencafe.org/guides has all of my free teaching guides all in one place and other guides as well, all to support you in your teaching. I hope you take advantage of this and let me know if you have any questions when you are checking out the guides. Hey everyone, if you are considering looking for another job, interviewing, hiring, changing grades, sending in resumes, I have all the tea today. I have all the inside scoop. This is an episode you do not want to miss if you are looking for a new job this year. I have on this podcast two principals, and they are going to give us best information, the inside scoops on hiring, interviewing, all of that. So definitely can't wait for you to hear this one. And after you're done listening, if you have questions, if you have follow-up questions, if you want someone to go over interview questions with you, if you want have someone that you want to check over your resume, you can book a coaching session with me anytime, and I'm happy to do all of that. You can also ask a question, and you can send me a DM, or you can also reach out to the Bearded Principals and ask them. So without further ado, here they are, the Bearded Principals. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe Podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Zeba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. Hi, everyone. I'm here with Jake and Rob, two awesome principals, and I'm so excited to have them here on the Kindergarten Cafe podcast because this is the time of year when changes are happening and you might be looking for a new job. You might be looking for your first job, and I bet you have a lot of questions. So I have asked them here to answer all the questions about applying for jobs, hiring, interviewing, all of that. So Jake and Rob, do you want to introduce yourselves? Tell us a little about yourselves before we jump in.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll start. I'm Jake Dorr. I have been a principal for 5 years, and I was an assistant principal before that. You know, we both are principals in the same district. We just love working with kids, working with educators, especially at the elementary level. There's just so much opportunity for students. And I think the big thing is, like, we both just love to have fun. Like, we just really like to bring that enthusiasm to work with us every day and create environments that are sustainable for our kids and for our teachers, and have had really positive outcomes with that kind of outlook on kids and school and school life and getting kids excited about going to school. So that's really why we're in it. It's why I'm in it. I'll let Rob speak for himself, but we just love it and want to keep working with kids in education.
Awesome.
All right. So this is my 9th year being the building principal at an elementary school. Before that, I was a 5th grade teacher. And before that, I was pretty much a lifelong summer camp counselor and summer camp director. And I would think if you were to survey my students or my teachers or my families, you get the best of both worlds, the education of an elementary school, but the fun and excitement of a summer camp. And I also have the neat opportunity of being able to be an elementary principal in the hometown that I grew up in. So it's really awesome, as Jake said, spending each and every day with little kids and fun. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
You bring that camp energy. Love it.
Yeah, I think that's what keeps them coming back. I mean, they kind of have to come back, but, you know, I think they enjoy walking through the doors every day.
That's really important, though.
Yeah.
So, questions for you about hiring. Let's start at the very beginning. If someone is Like they're already working there and they want to change grades. Maybe they're not happy in the grade. What's the best way to talk to their principal about that?
I'm a huge fan of open, direct, and transparent conversations, right? Happy kids stay happy when they have happy teachers. So, you know, if you have a teacher that's been teaching for a while in the same grade level and wants to kind of shake things up, or maybe a newer teacher that his or her first opportunity was in a particular grade level, and after doing a year or two, they're like, I'm not really quite sure this is for me. I think your first step is talking to your building administrator, because you're putting yourself and your potential change on their radar. Now, switching grade levels can sometimes be complicated. So if you're a second grade teacher and you want to go to fourth, unless there's an opening in that grade level, it would require somebody else to move. But I think having that conversation earlier allows the building administrator to talk to other grade levels that might be impacted, because what he or she might not know is a teacher at a different grade level might want to switch it as well, and it could just be kind of a internal switch. But I like to know where teachers are at in terms of their satisfaction with their grade level, or if they want to get into a specific area like a support, like an EL teacher or a special education teacher, because, you know, again, keeping people happy, and the happier you are, the higher performance we'll see.
Well, and there's always a lot of moving pieces, so it sure would help the principal to know, like, oh, I could move this person and they would like that. Right. I was moved against my will, and I made it very clear multiple times throughout the year that I was not happy and wanted to go back to kindergarten. My principal was well aware.
I guess just add in that, you know, I think the biggest thing is we want our teachers and our educators to continue to pursue what they got into education for. So a lot of people get in a building at a grade level and then use that as to get their foot in the door, and then they want to try something else. And I think, you know, sometimes being in a grade level for too long can become stagnant. Sometimes people are lifelongers at a certain grade level, but communication is just so important. I mean, at my building, I have a very open door policy, and I'm like, just come and talk to me about what's going on, you know, and if, you know, you have another license. A lot of educators in the field now have multiple licenses in multiple areas. And, you know, as an initial employee looking for those opportunities, getting some time in special education, being an EL teacher, you have those licenses. It's such a great opportunity to figure out, is that a path you want to go down? The other doors open, or do you want to stay as a classroom teacher, which is phenomenal as well. So us knowing that allows us to kind of see the whole chessboard and not just one piece at a time, right? And I think there's always a lot of moving pieces every single year.
Oh, yes. And as someone who has changed grade levels, there are benefits to, even though I didn't want to, it does inspire you to try new things and get new tools for your toolbox for kids that are higher, below, or like if you're used to the other grades. So there are benefits, and that's a whole other podcast. We could definitely talk about that. So if someone is looking to move schools or looking for their first job, I don't know if you want to answer this differently if it's your first job, but what advice for just getting the interview? Like, let's start there. How do they get, what stands out to you in the process to just land an interview?
I think the first thing is, on your cover letter, write the correct name of the school you're applying to. Honestly, it's such a game changer, the number of applications. And I think I can speak for Rob when I say this too, like, that say, like, you know, XYZ elementary school. I'm like, that is not the one that you were applying to. Like, just definitely crossing your T's and dotting your I's when you go on school spring and select like 8 different jobs is important. And, you know, I am a big fan of reaching out to the administrator or whoever's listed on the listing and saying, like, I hope you got my application. I'm interested in the position. You know, it's so easy now to apply to a ton of jobs at the same time that you do need to set yourself apart a little bit. And you need to make sure that even just that little level of interest and being like, hey, I looked on your website and I saw that you do this at your building. Like, that's super interesting to me. Like, I hope I'm considered for the position. I don't consider that to be a nuisance. I consider that to be you expressing interest in the position.
Yeah, I think your question, like you had suggested, it's kind of two different questions wrapped into one, right? If I'm, and I say this, I actually will sometimes, a former colleague is an adjunct professor at Stonehill. So I'll go there as like a guest speaker to talk to the Stonehill juniors and seniors on this exact topic. And what I like to say is that the best interview process for me is when you have substitute taught or been a paraprofessional, or, you know, your student teaching itself within my school, because an interview for me is a snapshot, right? I have you for potentially 30 minutes. I can look at your resume, look through all of your paperwork, but to see you in action, and I know we get that through the model lesson, but to almost have like a 6-month model lesson, if you will, if you're able to be in the building in some capacity. So if you're new to the career and you're getting out of school, and you're really not landing the jobs that you're applying for, I would suggest the old getting your foot in the door and applying for a paraprofessional position. And it quickly becomes apparent when a para comes to you and says, hey, I'm a certified teacher. I just want to get my foot in the district. And then you have the opportunity to kind of show what you have to bring to the school. And I've had circumstances where I have a first grade teacher who is a paraprofessional turned teacher. I actually have two. And if I don't have the capacity to have a paraprofessional who now wants to be a classroom teacher, then the principal's talked. There's five of us. It says, oh, you have a second grade opening? I have this amazing para. So for me, para position, teaching assistant, substitute teaching, covering maternity leaves or paternity leaves, like those sorts of opportunities, I think oftentimes when you're fresh out of school, you're like, you see those and you're like, oh, but I want to be a teacher. Well, the competition is real now. And so I think that extra advantage is letting your building administrator at the school you might be interested in, getting their eyes on you in action, and also giving the opportunity for that administrator to network for you on your behalf.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's actually both of you, Jake and Rob, is advice I was given when I was looking was one, email the principal and say, make a connection and say, like, I applied. I hope you got my application, and maybe include a slightly like a cover letter kind of information. And I actually got a lot of interviews that way when I was first starting out, and I was getting crickets before that. And then the other advice was, listen, if you're not getting a job, sub, or but even better, be a long-term sub. But having those connections, like people hire people that they know and trust over people that they don't. So getting that your foot in the door and having people know you and know that you're a responsible human being and interested in working with kids and good with working with kids, that is a big difference. Okay, so they landed an interview. Now what? What are your tips for the interview?
When you walk in the door, first impressions matter. And I say this to everyone, when you're interviewing, like, you're a stranger in that building. So everyone is going to be watching you and everything that you do as you enter that building, how you interact with the front office staff, how you interact with families that walk by, with teachers that walk by. Like, it's totally okay to be nervous, and like, we get that, but like, make sure you smile, make eye contact, all those things that like, you kind of have to remind yourself of because you're nervous because you're interviewing for a job. Like, we totally get that, but you gotta, in a lot of ways, like, psych yourself up for the interview process and know that first impressions really do matter. Cause then you walk in the room, but you want to make sure, like, I mean, we all work in schools. Like, people talk on the way and like, oh, this person, you know, took a phone call the entire day, whatever it ends up being, right? Like, make those connections quickly and then just, you know, be ready to really show yourself and, but also edit yourself, right? Rob and I talk a lot about the interview process, and the people who have the most success are the ones that have found a way to connect with the audience, regardless of who the audience in the room actually ends up being. And for everyone, that's different, right? But it's really thinking about, like, what are you bringing? Like, what is your most valuable asset that you are bringing to that interview? And how are you going to relay that within the first couple minutes of your interview?
Can you give an example?
Sure. So I have found recently that the, like, if you were interviewing and you come in and you immediately check in with like our front office staff and you kind of are really friendly and charismatic and ask questions and ask how their day is going, like, that sets you off on like a really nice way, walking in and shaking everyone's hand and introducing yourself and not just sitting right down. Like, if you're a friendly, outgoing person, like, relaying that to people because they need to be able to invite you into that conversation for them to trust you. And again, it's all rating, right? The minute you walk in the room, everyone is evaluating you, especially if you're going for a classroom job. Lately, you know, Rob and I are getting tens, 20, 30, 40, 50 applicants for positions now. So I think he alluded to this before, like, it is a competition again. It is not just three people applying for a job like it was for a couple of years.
And to go off of what Jake said, you can't really control your personality, right? So like, on the other side is, if you're more of an introvert, right, and you're more of a quiet, reserved person, the discomfort you have to put yourself through to kind of do some of the things Jake alluded to. I be who you are and be authentic. And, you know, I think when I'm on interview teams, I like to hear answers that are based in experience. And I tell teachers at Stonehill when I've been there, even if you haven't quite done something yet, but you can answer a question in terms of when you worked in an after-school program or at the summer camp. I personally want to hear experience-based answers related to how you interact with kids. And I want your excitement to come through in those responses. I've had teachers interviews, you know, blow me away simply by utilizing a level of humor when responding, because their excitement and positive energy that came through when answering was so apparent that it painted a picture for me that the kids that were involved in that interaction with the teachers were having a great time. You know, we look through the interview packages and GPAs and work experience, all that stuff matters. But for me, I hire for personality. And so on the same, you know, idea, go in as many interviews as you can. I'm not a great interviewer. You know, truth be told, I'm comfortable now talking in person. I could probably sit in an interview and do great because I'm public speaking every day. But if you're fresh out of school and your last interview was like when you worked at Target, right, in high school, and it was kind of a one-on-one, this is intimidating. You got five people around the table. Like Jake said, they're looking at you and kind of rating you the second you walk in the room. So the only way to get over that is discomfort is by doing it over and over and over again. And that's coming from somebody who completely bombed their fifth grade interview. And my former principal before becoming a principal just took a shot and everything worked out. So take the interviews, even if it's in a district you're not fond of, and then do your homework, right? Know that school. That shows to me you put effort in. So if you're doing a PBIS program, if there's a certain STEM lab that just got implemented, if diversity is something that's celebrated in a really overt manner because you did a diversity night last month, know those things because it shows that you care.
Yeah, to that point too, like there's two places I tell people always to look before you walk into an interview. So go on DESE, Department of Education, and look at that school's report card. And the second thing is go to that school's website and just you could spend 10 minutes on both of those places and come up with very salient points to show that you prepared yourself to talk about that school. And it could be whatever you're interested in. If you're an upper grade level person and you are a big test score person, find something positive about their test scores. Be like, well, I saw how you performed last year. Like, what are you guys doing this year to kind of improve upon those? Like, that just shows such insight, even if you don't have all the information about that school. It just allows you to immediately embed yourself in that community. And then the second is referencing things on the website is just the best piece of advice I would give anyone. Like, know that Rob's school is the Dragons. Know that my school is the Sharks. Know what that stands for. Or know, like, oh, your school is in the woods. Like, just have a little bit of that. Look on it at Google Maps and just know where you're going before you walk up. Like, don't go to the side entrance. Like, make sure you know where the main entrance is. Like, things like that so that you can prepare yourself a little bit, like, mentally. And it just shows you took that little bit of extra effort. It's a game changer.
And especially make sure you have the right day, because one time I went the right day, but the wrong week, and my interview was over an hour away. So that was fun. Not a great first impression. Anyway, that's a side story.
Oh, enthusiasm. Boy. It's fine.
I was super ready. I also went to this. This shows you I was like in the world of interviews and I was getting a lot of them at once. And I went to one school and was starting the interview process and didn't realize I was interviewing for the Spanish teacher of the kindergarten dual language program. Thankfully, I know Spanish, not fluently, like I'm not perfect at it. And they started interviewing me in Spanish. So didn't even know it was a dual language school. So absolutely do your research, learn from my mistakes. The other thing, you know, Rob, I heard you say was, or I forget what you said, but related to what you said, Rob, go on a lot of interviews and practice. And if you're not getting the job, if you're getting calls, you know, that thank you for applying, but we're going a different way, you can ask for feedback. And I've done that. And I got really good feedback, actually. I got feedback on some answer I gave for some classroom management because I didn't know, and I was basing it off of what I had seen And so I asked for feedback. So that was really helpful and in getting future jobs. And you said, talk to your experience, even if it's not in the classroom. And so I think that's important that everyone has something they can bring to the table, whether it's student teaching, camp, babysitting. Like, you have experience, even if it's not the way you think the principal might be looking for you to answer it, you have experience to bring to the table.
I'm a bit of a traditionalist in some ways and then a rebel in others. But a traditional side of me does appreciate the thank you emails after. And I know that seems, you know, people might not think it's a big deal. I certainly won't knock somebody, but it's similar to you sending your email to go along with your interest in applying for a job with your cover letter, right? It's just, it's that extra thing. And this running this building to me is so important to me, right? Like, these kids every day are my kids. I have my real kids at home, but these kids here are my kids. And so my most important job as a building administrator is hiring adults to be in charge of my kids. And what comes before the academic instruction is safety. And so by being somebody who's taking the extra time to send that extra email in before the process, to send the extra email after the process, it just sets you apart from those that don't. And I don't want to simplify it, but it's your own way of saying, I really, really want this job. And I really appreciate you taking the time to interview. Don't forget about me. So to anybody who's just getting into the interview process, a 3-minute email that you can probably just knock out using AI, just come up with a cool templated email, just send it. And I think sharing your appreciation goes a long way.
But double check it's the right school and name.
Good call. And be send it on the right day. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the right week. All right. So on the interview, can I ask you, like, for my audience is kindergarten teachers. So what are some of your favorite questions to ask a future kindergarten teacher on an interview?
So I will say that I asked one question in all my interviews. It's something I actually picked up from a principal when I was an assistant principal. And it's how I end my interviews. Rob loves this question. It is if you were a professional athlete, professional athletes have walk-up songs. What would your walk-up song be for this profession? And that is exactly the expression. I wish your audience could see your face, Ziva, that I get most of the time. And then people think about it, right? And it kind of puts you on the spot a little bit. And you have to think about what embodies me. Some people are quick. Some people wait a couple of minutes or ask, like, what's your walk-up song? And then I answer. But it gives, like, a little bit of insight into who you are as a person that we can't always glean from your answers about education. And I think to Rob's point, like, we're building culture that supports our environments, right? Like, yes, I have a position that's open. I'm going to post it. I'm going to sort through the applicants and see who, you know, is interesting to me, and we'll bring those people in who's qualified, all that good stuff, right? Like, we have that process. But in the end, like, I'm proud of all the teachers in my building, but the people who I hired are my people that I was able to get through this process. And they're the people that, you know, they're all important to the building, but they're the ones that were selected by me to get through and be a part of that culture in that building and supplement what was already there. So it's a freezer sometimes, right? I get like, can I say, and some people say some surprising things when you ask what their walk-up song would be. You know, I've gotten everything from like, you know that song from Sing? And I'm like, I don't, and then they like start to sing it. And you're like, okay, we're going here in this interview, right? So, you know, or like, I just really love like this rock song. And you're like, okay, great. Like, you know, it just gives you some like insight into who that person is and something for us to talk about afterwards that sets you apart as a person and not just as an educator.
I have no idea what my walk-up song will be. I have to think about that.
My questions are not nearly as exciting as Jake's. Although we did include last year, like, what are you listening to right now? Or maybe it was 2 years ago. It was funny because after like 8 or 9 interviews, that answer, that question every time, Taylor Swift. Next one, Taylor Swift. Next one, Taylor Swift. And then it was like Pantera. I'm like, whoa, all right, this is where, So it's a cool question. I like questions that are getting to the root of, did you do your appropriate amount of investigation into my school and student demographics, right? So I love questions about how are you going to connect with your classroom's family community? Because at our school, we've become increasingly more, our demographics have diversified linguistically, socioeconomically, everything, right? So a traditional textbook response on how to connect with those families is probably not going to cut the mustard, because your answer on how you're going to connect to a very affluent community is not going to be the same potentially in one that's not. So I love when a teacher's like, you know, they check all the boxes. I'm going to do a weekly newsletter, and they go through, you know, parent-teacher conferences, the whole rigmarole. But then they're like, oh, like, I'm going to have to make sure to use a translating, right? I got to use a translating platform. I'm going to have to potentially, one teacher said, I might have to set up conference times outside of the conference windows if parents are working multiple jobs. So like that mindset, I think is really neat. And it lends itself to, or it lends me to understand like, wow, they understand my student community and how important family engagement is. And then, you know, 2026, I do want to make sure you have a good handle on technology, right? Like I think if I were to do an interview this summer or September, I'd be interested as to where they're at with AI, right? With ChatGPT, Google Gemini. We don't have kids at the age that we're worried about student use necessarily, but how can you use it in the classroom? Are you comfortable with the Google platform? Like that sort of stuff matters now too. So those are two areas I will be focusing on for interviews moving forward.
We also like, we've talked a lot about like just jargon usage too, and not to like over buzzword us or over jargon us, or like, you know, yes, it's great if you can like RTI and IST and IEP and 504 us, like that's awesome. But like, can you actually tell us why those things exist or how you utilize those things? Or if you are, you know, letters trained or dibbles trained, like, okay, that's awesome. I appreciate that. I saw it on your resume, but tell me why that's important. Like, especially in the kindergarten community, right? Like, what are you bringing to those kindergarten classrooms? What are you trained in that sets you apart? It's cool if you're OG trained. How are you going to use that in my classrooms, in my building, to help those kids? And what can you bring to the team? Like, we ask a lot, you know, Rob and I talk a lot about the questions and with our other fellow principals as well. Like, I think we're also looking for what do you bring to this community that we don't already have that can really help us too and continue to help us grow and educate the rest of our staff. But yeah, like we sit through some interviews sometimes where I heard every buzzword under the sun, and that's great, but it's just a lot of buzz and not a lot of substance, and we want substance.
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, listening to you talk about your fun questions and all the talk you've had about culture and school culture and all of that, it does make me think to tell teachers that something I was told. When you're not hired, it might not be about you being like a qualified candidate or the best candidate. It might be thinking, the principal might be thinking about the particular team that they're hiring for and looking for a specific type of personality that would really work well with that team. So it might not have anything to do with you and just be about the team that you're looking for. So just if you are getting rejections, like that could be part of it. And like I said, you could ask for feedback. Question for you, or I guess confirmation. I think some common questions that people should probably be prepared for are some question about behavior management, some question about like what would literacy look like, what would math look like, how do you work as a team, any other like basic, like, yeah, you should definitely, for any interview, you're probably going to get a question like this.
I think you're going to get a question on how will you support differentiation, how will you support students that are receiving special education services? How will you support your multilingual learners? I think another one is something related to your ability to collaborate, right? Like collaboration is critical. I know we have one. We pretty much have scripted questions with the opportunity to adjust if necessary, as long as we keep with the same script for every interview. But collaboration is interesting. That's always a good one. And so, yeah, collaboration, and I think definitely something about differentiating for the various abilities in the classroom.
Are there any questions or anything on the interview? You said basically for the resume, like make sure you have the right school name. Is there anything in the interview that immediately makes you go, I don't think this is going to work?
So when they're talking to us, mm-hmm. Is there anything? I think substance, right? Like I think you can go to 4 years of undergrad and pass the MTELs and really only have like kind of a surface level understanding as to what's going on in the classroom. And that really is because you just haven't had the exposure. There's never going to be a principal that has like a college student coming up and saying, hey, I have break. I know you don't really need subs, but like if I get queried and fingerprinted, could I volunteer in your building? Okay. So like I think you have to go deeper than the textbook understanding of what teaching is all about. So if I'm starting to get the vibe that you might have been a straight A student, but your answers don't go much deeper than what you heard from your professors verbally, that's tough for me. I also, my big red flag is when you badmouth your previous experience or previous school. It is, I don't know if turn off is the appropriate verbiage, but like when you're like, oh, I was on a terrible team at my last school and this is what happened, or even worse, if you badmouth like your building administrator, and believe me, like Jake and I know, not everybody likes us, right? Like that's okay. It's a part of the gig, but I don't think an interview is the appropriate platform to share your dissatisfaction with your previous experience. And I think there's better ways to share that. You know, it just really wasn't my place, however you want to say it. But I know teams of teachers that I've interviewed with will look at me after and be like, that was kind of weird. You know what I mean? I hope I'm not wrong, Jake. It's just, that's my experience.
Yeah, I think talk to your experiences, you know, where, even if it is all just student teaching, where did you student teach? What grades were you in? Tell us about Timmy. Tell us, I always say Timmy, like Rob, you heard a million times, Timmy did this. I've never worked with a Timmy, you know, but like, tell us those stories and like how you overcame an obstacle, or, you know, this student, it was really challenging to have a relationship with this kid, and this is what you did, or this is what you didn't know how to do, and this is who you went to for support. I mean, I'm a big, like, you know, I think my family and friends would describe me as like kind of like an emotional leader, right? And an emotional person. So like, I want those people who can share real things with me. I don't need to know what you learned in like LS 500. Like, I'm all set. I need to know how you applied that in the classroom, like what your experience in that moderate special education classroom was like, what your experience in an urban setting was like, or what experience you didn't have and what you're looking to get out of this opportunity in this district. You know, I don't think you should ever be afraid to apply to something you don't have experience in, but just be able to speak to the fact that you haven't had that experience yet and be honest about that, because we can sniff out a lie. Right. I think that's the big thing. Like, we know when you're not telling us real information, and we know when it's like, just tell us, just be honest. Like, hey, I haven't experienced that yet. I'm not familiar with that, but I'm really open to learning, and I'd be happy to work through some professional development and find out more about that. Do you offer those opportunities here?
Yeah. Jake just had me thinking, you know, while you don't want to start off your interview or bad mouthing your previous experience, right? I think vulnerability goes a long way. Right? Because it's tricky. I think the practice and career of a teacher is improvement over time, right? Like, I think back to when I won't even share my spelling test story that I share with every new teacher at the mentor program during the summer. It's embarrassing. But like, you learn, right? So it's okay. You finished up your second year at this particular school district. It's just really, it's not working out, or maybe unfortunately due to budgetary reasons, there's layoffs, whatever it might be, you're applying to my school. It's okay to be vulnerable and say, you know, I'm working in that area. I'm trying to get better. Because like Jake said, too much confidence can be perceived negatively, especially because oftentimes around that interview table is some teachers that have put in like 15, 20 years of teaching. And while we're the building administrator, their voice and their opinion on who gets put onto the next stage, it's probably even more important than mine, to be quite honest, because I'm not working with this person every day. So you just got to kind of watch your bravado and how that comes across when responding to particular questions.
Awesome. I was totally going to ask, it's okay to say you don't know and to say, well, and I'm looking forward to learning that. And are there opportunities? I always, you know, interviews that I can remember, there's always ends with, are there any questions that you have? And for me, I wanted to use this opportunity to ask more about something that was important to me, which for kindergarten is play. So I would always make sure to ask, how do you value play, or how do you see play? But also, I also asked, like, what supports are there for new teachers? And I think that's a key one, tell me if I'm wrong, because it shows you're open to learning and you're open to growing as a professional and you're open to get help. So yeah, do you guys ask that question, and what do you think?
I love when teachers ask, like, what opportunities are there for growth? Because it allows me to talk to our building-based mentor program, our district mentor program, our robust professional development plan. Like, there's a lot to speak to that we wouldn't otherwise talk about. I mean, our assistant superintendent of HR in our district, he's awesome. And he'll always say, that last question is also for you to interview, because teaching is a really hard job. You're taking care of like 20 kids. You're worrying about report cards, parent-teacher conference, MCAS scores. It's a lot. So you want to be in a place that's suitable for you. So I think it's a pretty pivotal moment where the building administrator and a team of teachers say, now, what do you want to know? Ask questions that are going to allow them to respond to paint a picture as to what the reality is going to be. If I'm a kindergarten teacher going in for an interview, information that might not be for the that might not be on a district website or DESE, do I have a full-time paraprofessional? What are their hours? What is your district's expectation with toileting? You know, do kindergartners return back to school on the same day as first grade through 12th grade? Is there professional development for my paraprofessional? These are all questions, because especially if you've been a kindergarten teacher before. So if you're a kindergarten teacher before that's always had a full-time para, and now this district's like, yeah, we don't have paras this year due to budgets, and you're going to have 24 kids. Like, all right, thanks so much for the interview. I'm gonna set up a couple more. So it's your opportunity to get information so you know how to direct next steps. And I think based on your particular grade level, I think there are non-negotiables, right? I think that you owe it to yourself to really go in knowing what you need to know before you make the decision to join a team.
Those are great points. Yeah, the interview is a two-way street. I mean, it doesn't feel like that when you're the one sitting in the chair and there's five people looking at you, but it is your chance to get to know if you want to work there too, because it might not be a good fit for you and you don't want to put yourself in that bad position.
Yeah, it's a marriage, right? I mean, like, and you're getting into a long-term relationship. So hopefully, right, when you join a district, and that's your opportunity to, I mean, if anyone's ever interviewed before, sometimes you leave an interview and you're like, oh, I don't know if that is really where I want to be. And I think that you got to read yourself, right? You got to know, like, I asked a question that was important to me and I did not get the answer I was looking for. And maybe then you follow up. Like, maybe that's when that follow-up email comes out. And you have a couple more questions. I mean, one that Robson mentioned was like, some districts have kindergarten bathrooms in the kindergarten rooms and some don't and some won't. Like, you know, just depending on what's going on. And, you know, even like with the screening process, like, do you screen kindergartners? What's your policy for that? You know, I think just a couple of the things that we've talked about before is like, what's my nighttime commitment in this district? What is my, you know, like, what are the days actually look like here? What are, you know, our district has like kind of a funky release schedule for the days of the week, depending on some different things. So think about what you want to know and what's important in your life, right? Like, is, you talked about interviewing an hour away. Like, what's your quality of life going to be if you're driving an hour to get to work? And those are things that are important. Like, they may not be impactful in year one, but they're going to be in year 5, 6, 7, 10, 25. And I think people really need to, teaching's a long-term commitment, and we do see a lot of burnout, and we do see a lot of, it's not failure. It's just not understanding what you're necessarily getting yourself into or being in the right place at the right time. And there's plenty of teachers that we've had and people we've been friends with in the field who maybe it just wasn't the right place at the right time and they're successful other places, or we've gotten people to come work with us who didn't have awesome experiences beforehand, but are rock stars with us. So I just think it's important. Like, this is your opportunity. You don't get a second interview in places to do it the first time, if that makes sense.
And Jake, it lowers, in my opinion, what I learned over time was it kind of lowers your own anxiety related to the process, right? Like, if you go in with the mentality like, all right, I know I got to answer some questions, but I also want to learn more. That like investigatory perception of the process is only going to assist you with, at least for me, like calming my blood pressure when I walk in the room. And, you know, I also want to keep it real, right? I would hesitate to be a recent graduate going in for an interview and to have like a million non-negotiables. Like, if you're fresh out of school, it's a balance. You don't want to be fresh out of school and be like, oh, how many nights do I have to be here till 7? You know what I mean? How many minutes of duty do I get? So I know this sounds crazy, but I think the amount of those sort of clarifying questions are going to have a direct correlation to how long you've been doing it for, right? If that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think because ultimately, if you don't have the experience, you don't have as high of a leg up as someone who has the experience. So you're going to want, when you're fresh out, to get the experience any way you can, whether it's subbing, long-term subbing, or starting in a school that maybe not the perfect long-term fit, but maybe you can get a year or two in there, get some real good experience of what you like and don't like, and you don't have to be married to that school forever. You can get a divorce. Yeah. You can find somewhere else to go. One last interview question. Team portfolios, digital, binders, like what's the trend right now? What do you prefer?
Just make it purposeful. So personally, I won't speak for Rob and I won't speak for my team. If you bring something and pass it out, people will look at it, right? If you send a link, they might look at it. It depends. I'm always intrigued by the technology and like looking online and clicking through someone's stuff, like especially if it's well done, like that's awesome. But make it purposeful, be able to talk to it. Like having a couple things on a page, I find more impactful and being like, hey, like this is an example of something that I did, but make it tie in naturally. And if it doesn't happen, it's okay. That portfolio is not going to make or break your interview. There are plenty of people we have hired that do not have a scrap of paper with them. Didn't bring a resume, didn't bring a portfolio, didn't nothing, right? Like they just sold us with the conversation. But, you know, then there are some people who it's like, man, like that portfolio was just so well done and it tied right into what they were talking about in their teaching. And, you know, it really gave me just some additional insight into who they are. But I think the bigger thing is just don't force the issue with it. If it doesn't come up naturally, even if you bring it, it's okay to just put it right back in your bag and pretend like you didn't bring it at all, right? That's totally okay.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the digital portfolios for me, I don't find them entirely helpful. Like when somebody walks in and they have a folder prepared, and this is the neat thing too, just to go back to your original question, when I book an interview and I get that email that's like, thank you so much, how many people will be participating in the interview, right? I know now they want to prepare something to bring. So when you can sit down and slide that over, oh, like after you answer the last question, by the way, I brought this. Like Jake said, take the opportunity to walk through it, but it's really the opportunity to put a magnifying glass on something in your resume that you want to call a little bit more attention to. So I think it's neat. I think it's like we had talked about earlier, it's just putting that extra effort in. And I've never had a situation where folders of information have been handed out by the interviewee and they just sit there. Like everybody looks through them, even if they're looking through them during that 15-minute downtime until the next candidate comes in the room.
And I think I would guess that it is more helpful to new teachers that have less experience, mostly because it gives you, the interviewee, like more talking points to remember. Because if you can be like, oh, what does literacy look like? Oh, well, here I have a literacy lesson here you can look at. Like if you're nervous, that might help you to have that there. But if you are someone with a lot of more experience, like Jake said, maybe you don't need it as much, or you can bring it and not, you know, show it off.
I found it helps in the preparation process. Like you can tell as people prepare and put their portfolio together, like it kind of creates a natural conversation as opposed to being like, I made this portfolio in my, you know, last semester of college because it was a graduation requirement and I'm just bringing it because I spent time doing it, right? Like if you create something and you're like, this is the literacy component of what I did and it allows you to reflect on your experiences and speak knowledgeably about them, then it's an awesome asset. And I agree with Rob, like people definitely are looking through afterwards. And, you know, I just, for the people who are like don't go out and spend $250 making a million copies in color of things. Like it's okay to just have a black and white copy printed double-sided. Like it's totally okay. Don't go crazy with those things because it's not going to tip the scales that much, in my opinion, for an interview.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm going to wrap it up because this has been going longer than I thought. I'm sorry, but I think this is such good information for people applying to jobs. One quick tip, do you do demo, like if after someone interviews, do you do a demo lesson? And we could do a whole other podcast about that, but one quick tip for what to do for the demo lesson or think about.
So when we do it here, we'll call and we'll say that, you know, I will direct that person coming in, the interviewee or the candidate, with a particular teacher from the team. So for instance, if you were interviewing for a classroom at my school and I said, all right, I'm going to put you in touch with Jake. He's another kindergarten teacher. I think questions that show that we care or that we're really putting in our full effort is how many kids are in the room? Like I would send an email to the teacher. How many kids are in the room? What are their names? Is there any students on IEPs or 504s or MLLs? Because I want to make sure that my lesson I'm about to present to you is differentiated appropriately. Are there other adults in the room? Are there any, you know, if especially kindergarten, I think we, you know, we're on the same page. I love play, right? It's all about social development. So if I'm planning a lesson where I'm bringing Play-Doh or something to that effect, are there allergies? Like, I think the more questions you ask to be fully prepared not only makes it look like you're doing your homework, but also you're preventing a potential disaster. You show up with 50 cans of Play-Doh, right? And the teacher's like, actually, Jake is allergic to Play-Doh. So I don't know. It's worthwhile to ask as many questions as you can to get a paint a picture for yourself as to who and what the room's going to look like.
Yeah. Be prepared to not get through all your content. I think it's my biggest piece of advice. You just never know what's going to happen. Like, typically you're walking into either a summer program, right, that is hosting you, or if you happen to be there during the school year, like probably something towards the end of the year and they've covered most of their content. So you're going to be rehashing something they've probably already known. I agree with everything that Rob said in terms of like asking questions and showing interest. And I think just don't be offended if you don't get answers to everything. Like, you just might not. And you might get a teacher who's like super nervous about giving out information to you. And so I think like just being okay with like, there's 17 kids, we're asking you for an ELA lesson. And depending on what it is, you know, I typically might say like where we've left off or something we've covered recently. And it's okay to kind of do that lesson topic again with those kids. Yeah, you know, and I prefer personally, I tell people don't rely on anything related to technology ever working, right?
Yeah.
So like pretend like the Wi-Fi is not going to work on that day. They might not have a smart board in their classroom. Like you just can't, it's such unreliable technology as a non-staff member that just be able to do everything without having that. And if you have it, it's a win. But we've seen some stuff where it's like an over-reliance on technology or too much technology. And just, I don't need to watch you teach through the YouTube video or something else. And, you know, just show us why you're interested in being a teacher, right? Like, show us that passion, right? And it can be in anything. If you're passionate about teaching, you can apply to any subject matter for 20 minutes or 25 minutes. And that's the other thing. Ask how long the demo lesson is. Because depending on where you go, it could be 10 minutes. It could be 20 minutes. I've seen ones that are an hour, but ask what the expectations of the school are before you go, because you might not know.
And bring name tags for the kids. Definitely bring name tags so you can identify them by name instead of like buddy. And you're really, in my opinion, you're really getting observed on student engagement, right? Like I'd be shocked if you were like, oh, if you already planned for the last 3 nights, you're going to do a lesson on fractions and you don't know the content, that'd be concerning. And you shouldn't really have to worry about classroom management because in this room is 4 teachers and the principal. You would hope kids are not really misbehaving. So you're really there. Can you captivate an audience? Because the kids tell us after you leave, just the kids are coming up to that principal. Oh, Mr. C, I really liked her, right? I mean, like that happens and teachers notice. So it's really make it fun. If you're doing fractions, right? Like don't do something off of a worksheet. Maybe include like pizzas. That's what I did when I did my 5th grade model lesson. It was all about Town Spot Pizza. Like, make it engaging. Try to find a local place that the kids can connect to if you're not from around there, you know, or a sports season that's currently going on. Just get creative, but the kids got to be engaged.
Yeah, that's what my principal, I've heard her say, is she's not just not care about the content of the lesson. It's about how you interact with kids. And for her, she can figure that out in the first like 5 minutes. But I think, and what I've seen watching demo lessons in my room, which is very interesting, was I saw one teacher right away teach the kids how to get an attention getter. Because she was like, I know that your teacher's probably taught you a lot of ways to get your attention, but with me right now, this is how I'm going to get your attention, or like, this is how I'm going to get you to come back to me. And I thought that was really impressive. So that stood out to me.
That's a neat idea. That's a cool idea.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we could talk about demo lessons forever, but maybe you'll come back if we get a lot of good feedback. But thank you so much for giving us all the inside scoops on the hiring process. And I know that you are working on your own podcast. It's going to be The Bearded Principals. So everyone should stay tuned to that. It's going to be more for admin, yes?
It's going to be, you know, it'll be from the perspective of 2 administrators, right? But it could be anything from information similar to what you're talking with us about, and also just maybe up-to-date educational topics that'd be worthwhile to have a discussion about in sharing our own opinion and eliciting feedback from other people.
So not just for admin, everyone can
benefit. Yeah, I think just for anybody interested in the world of education.
Love that. Well, maybe I can be a guest on your podcast.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And yeah, reach out to me if you have other questions about the hiring, and I can connect or answer, or we'll figure it out.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.